All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by The Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Friday edition of Oilers Nation Radio. First pod in a week because we were in the air on Tuesday and we were too drunk on the rest of the nation vacation to properly put together any content. Not true, Rick?
We could have put the content together. Maybe the back end of it wouldn't have been great.
Fair.
I don't know what just happened over there.
What do you
Anyways,
mean?
you give us mics and we're good to go.
I think the content would have been there too. However, we weren't in a battle of ourselves. We were in a battle with time.
Yeah, only 47 hours in the desert. It'll get you. Welcome into Oilers Nation Radio. Tyler, Rick, Liam, Dan. No bag milk today. He is like Nuge. We had to scratch him late because he's sick. So he's just following in Nuge's footsteps. And honestly, I respect the commitment to the bit from our boy Bagged Milk. Okay, we're going to get into all the usual run of programming, but I want to start with something else.
Okay.
Lance Kane, that I apologize to you, Rick.
For?
Because about 2 months ago, you said top spot in the division.
I wasn't going to say anything till next Wednesday.
And next today, Friday. This week on the show, I'll let the facts speak for themselves, Rick.
Do we have a graphic for this?
No, I don't make graphics that make me
the Oilers
bad.
Now control their own fate when it comes to the first top spot in the division. They are 12 points back of Vancouver with six games in hand and a head-to-head matchup, which means if you were to win the six games in hand and win the head-to-head, you would be 1 point or 2 points up on the Vancouver Canucks. That is
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But there was no chance Vancouver is going to be able to keep rolling what they're doing right now, or what they were doing. Sorry. What is going to be interesting to see what they do from here on out. If you let this four game slide dip into what they've done so far, they're going to be in trouble. Yeah. Do they have it in their dressing room to shake it off and get back out there and continue what they were doing at the beginning of the season? Who knows? That's going to be interesting to see.
Four losses in a row. Again, control their own fate. Dan, do you think there's a chance the Oilers can actually do it?
Well, I think we've been saying it. Rick and I have been on the same page.
Mathematicians say yes.
So far, just saying that, yeah, I mean, the destiny is in the Oilers' hands. And all those games in hand that they banked up throughout the season with the weird Walk of Fame break that the Oilers had there, then the All-Star break, and then an extra All-Star break around McDavid's birthday, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've had some weird time off. The games in hand are going to help you, and you have to win those games. Obviously, that's a part of the equation here. But, yeah, the Oilers in math, it's there.
Yeah, and again, like if you win the game in hand against Vancouver, which is one of the last games of the year,
You would actually then at that point only need to go 5-1 in your 6 games in hand, because you do hold the tiebreaker over over the Vancouver Canucks as well, right?
How?
No.
Regulation wins? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Before they go head-to-head.
Right.
Yeah. The Oilers, to catch them, would have to win 6 more games. They're 6 regulation wins back right now. And then that would also, again, presuming things break the right way and it's not a bunch of shootout wins, they would then be ahead of them in the second tiebreaker. So the Oilers would have the edge.
Let's say they do that.
Okay.
Is coach of the year now Mr. Knobloch?
Oh, instead of Rick Tocchet, if he leads them. Whoa, Rick just pushed his mic away. Baller.
He mic dropped it.
Did I look good on camera?
On a mic stand.
We got it on camera. Liam?
So which question?
Both. Knobloch coach of the year, if they were to pass the Canucks, like, I mean, damn, turn them from a bottom feeder into the division winner. And at that point, you'd be, I mean, almost talking about conference leader. Just crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if they win the division, he's going to be in contention for sure. But I also think the job Rick Tocchet has done in a sense, like bringing Vancouver to the heights that they're at, is quite impressive too. John Tortorella in Philadelphia, Philly make the playoffs well, is quite a good accomplishment too. Yeah. But I mean, he should be in the conversation. As for the Oilers catching Vancouver, I mean, it's a lot more realistic than we thought a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago. But this is going to be just a real character build for Vancouver to show what they're all about, right? Like, this team now has lost 4 games in a row. How far will they slide? That, like, if they keep going, then yeah, the Oilers can just catch them. But the Oilers also have a pretty tough schedule and a lot of games in a short period of time as well.
But they're going to be tough games. That's just every game. Yeah, gonna be tough.
Oh, for sure.
We've seen how it works. This is a great test for the Oilers. They get to sit there, look at something on a much closer schedule now. You know, it's much closer now, and go, how bad do you guys want this? If they go out there and grab and play to the best of their ability and figure out this dang power play and penalty kill, there really aren't too many teams in this league that should be able to beat them.
Deal. Yeah, I think figuring out the second period is just kind of the big thing, because I think that just comes with your power play and penalty kill too. They're just killing themselves in a second, and I do not understand it at all.
Yeah, but even like, I know last game, the thing that gets me the most out of the last game is that minute and 40 power play in overtime. We are an offensive team. We had the most electric power play out there, 4-on-3. I think it's better than a 5-on-3. You have one less passing opportunity. You have more reason to shoot the puck at this point. And they didn't do anything. They should have won the game in overtime.
Swayman made a great stop, though.
But yeah, Bouchard, that's fair. And I mean, take nothing away from the goaltender.
Yeah.
The Edmonton Oilers, those guys on the ice, they should have scored a goal.
Yep, that's fair. Should have been an extra point in the bag there. It's frustrating. Yeah, and just to go back to the top of the division thing, I know we're getting a little sidetracked off the jump here, but there also is a significant advantage if you can somehow do it. It's still a very sizable gap. I understand that. But if you can somehow do it, to have your first round matchup be St. Louis or Nashville instead of Vegas, that's a
huge,
instead of Vegas or LA, like, that's big.
Staying out of the Pacific Division in the way that the playoffs are currently set up is a good idea, especially when you're going to be facing possibly the stand defending.
Who's first place in the other division?
Dallas right now is 76. Are they
Winnipeg?
What are we?
Vancouver's at 80 right now. Edmonton's at 68. So Edmonton is.
So you were assuming we'd get, if we finish there, we'll get the bottom of the wildcard teams.
Yeah. Like, I'm assuming if you have enough in the tank to catch Vancouver, then you've probably caught everybody just because Vancouver's 4 points up on Dallas.
Okay, I see.
So here's a fun little thing I just noticed. If it was still 1-8 in the playoffs, the Oilers play Colorado if it ended today.
Hey.
Yikes. Well,
good thing it's not. Sidney Crosby. That's not the way we're rolling with it right now, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Top spot in the division. I thought you were nutso, Rick, but you are onto something.
Let's go. It's not over yet, though. They have to, and I think you'll see that out of this team. I think you'll see them kind of... If you go back a long time ago, the Calgary Flames did this thing with Daryl Sutter where he broke down the last 28 games into 4 7 game sets.
Yeah.
And broke it down as, you know, they started their playoffs that much earlier. The Edmonton Oilers can do something like that right now. And I think you're going to see something out of this team. You're going to see this team kind of grab something.
But what would he do when he breaks into 7 game sets? What does he do when they win 4 in a row? Is he like, hey, next three don't count, guys. Yeah, we're good. Mail her in.
Congrats on the sweep. You got the week off.
Calls up a bunch of American League guys. All right. We're going to do something a little bit different today for the delicious debate. It is, as always, brought to you by Wendy's. They're letting you win real food with your fantasy teams this year and daily face-off with the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Get your picks in at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. For those of you who smoke the competition, Wendy's is rewarding you with weekly prizes. You can also download the Wendy's app and score yourself 150 bonus reward points on your first order and grab sweet victory from the mouth-watering jaws of defeat. Sign up now, dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. Win weekly prizes like the spicy chicken sandwich. We were on the Nation vacation. Three of us were on the Nation vacation this week, so I wanted to do a little, you know, for the delicious debate, your best memory from the trip when we were out in Arizona. Got to give some love to everyone who swung by too. We had such a good group of listeners on this trip. Everything went incredibly smooth and we had so many good fireside chat, poolside chat, bar side chats with people. Rick, your favorite memory from the trip?
You know what? It has to just be the atmosphere in the arena. And I don't want to give it too much credit just because it is what it is. And it's, you know, 5,000 people isn't very hard to fill. But I do like how the fact that I felt like this, the bottom row there, or the bowl, I guess, the only bowl, was steeper. So you sit higher, but you also sit closer to the ice.
Yeah, like being row 13 there felt different than row 13 at Rogers.
Yeah, right. Row 13 here feels like you're further away. You're closer to eye, but I don't really care about that. We felt like you're right on top of them a little bit more. Yep. That was really cool. I mean, you're going to be hard pressed to find anything that was really bad about that, but it's that and probably just Chalmers.
Chalmers is a Chalmers. Top memory?
Yeah, yeah, Chalmers. I mean, take it from the golf course, take it to the fireside. You know, it really doesn't matter. Everywhere he was grabbing first star.
Liam.
So I had to pick. I had a really good time.
Our 5-hour hot tub session?
Yeah.
You guys were in there a while.
We were in there a long time.
Dogs.
Grinding. I think I've said on a few podcasts now, we're just like interacting with people who listen to our shows. It's pretty cool to meet everybody.
Have you unmuted anyone yet?
Yeah, a couple of people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just me and people. And honestly, like the devil's advocate before and after was just insane. Like we were so far away from home and the fact that we were able to just like load up that bar with everyone was quite incredible. So that's my favorite part about the Nation vacations is just me and everybody. And I remember BM told me before we went to Vegas last year, he's like, you'll really see like what the Nation's all about on this trip. And then we sold out the Tom's Bar, And then to do it again in Arizona, I think this trip was honestly probably one of the best trips I've just ever gone on.
It was so much fun.
It was amazing. Dan?
Dan, what I wanted to ask you with us being there and with just that building being probably 70% Oilers fans, was it that noticeable on TV that arena was just packed with Oil fans?
Well, first of all, yes, this is a sore spot for me. This is the first time I've not been able to come on a Nation vacation officially, like for any other reason than I just wasn't able to. So yeah, you guys look like you were having a lot of fun, but yeah, it was really cool to watch from afar. The national media really picked up on it. I think about halfway through the second period, people were starting to talk about it across the hockey sphere. So you guys made some noise, and that photo, I just had it up on my phone, but the photo of Mullet that you guys made kind of go viral about us taking over Mullet Arena. Like, I don't think you could find a photo like that outside of Rogers Place at any time during the year, except for during Nation.
Is that everybody in the crowd?
Yeah, the crowd shot of.
For the record, I think you could zoom out a bit and still get that same type of picture. Sure.
There was so when we got in there, it was obvious that there was a ton of Oilers fans, but it didn't sink into me how many people were there until Drysdale scored. And it's like, oh shit, like this place, loud. Everybody stood up. Like it was nuts. It was just cool. And yeah, it was an unbelievable trip.
It is just a unique thing. And I know that, you know, it's a joke and that the league doesn't want to keep doing this and that we're laughing at it and all that, but like, it is a neat thing to have the opportunity to go into a 4,000 plus seat stadium and fill it and just fill it with orange and blue. And you guys took it over. And like, I love going to the junior barns, the small buildings, that kind of thing. It's fun. And so there's just something to be said for that experience for you guys. It may be a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Hopefully.
I missed a once in a lifetime opportunity because not many people know this. And I haven't mentioned this, But Captain Felton was sat in my seat. That could have been me.
Oh,
a kiss could have been me.
Wow.
It's tough.
He looked right in the camera when he said that too, I think.
I did.
The kiss could have been Liam. The kiss heard around the world. There you go. Just a quick recap for the Nation Vacation. All of our Nation Vacations brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. There's only one thing better than sitting around sharing memories like this. It's going out and making new ones, which we love doing on Nation Vacations. Visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel for more information on how they can
protect you. You didn't answer that question, right?
What was my favorite memory? You know what? I'll say, because you guys kind of summed it up, like the atmosphere in the arena, unreal. Atmosphere in Devil's Advocate was great. But our little walk from Devil's Advocate to Mullet Arena, as we were just like a parade of Oilers fans going down the street, was also really, really cool.
The funny thing about that is I wasn't in that group with you guys. Ooh, okay. I was at the bar still talking to a gentleman named Neil. And then we also had a big herd of Oilers fans go with us too. So there was like multiple groups of people just walking there from Devil's Advocate. It was cool, but the tone was set right from the start when we all stopped at Circle K, and Rick laughed at me. He's like, I'll get the beers, you get the Gatorade.
Get the Gatorade in the water, I'll grab the beer.
Great deal for me. And I bought some sunglasses.
Good teamwork.
Yeah, we had a great time. If you haven't been on a Nation Vacation once, you got to join us on the next one. Good times are being had. So I want to do something a little bit different today on the Delicious Debate brought to you by Wendy's. But we can get back into the hockey talk now with Who Delivered for our friends at DoorDash. Our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. There have been 3 Oilers games since we last recorded an episode of the podcast. There was the 4-3 overtime victory over the Dallas Stars, the big dub down at the Mullet Arena in Arizona, and the most recent 6-5 overtime loss to the Boston Bruins. So there's been plenty of big moments, plenty of goals, plenty of storylines. But who delivered for you from these last 3 games for the Edmonton Oilers? Dan, you're down at the end. I'll let you go first.
Oh, it's going to go to Mr. Evan Bouchard with 5 points, 2 goals, 3 assists through the 3 games. I just so happened to have watched the game previous to this 3-game stretch with an Evan Bouchard hater. So I was definitely, I think, in a little bit more of a lens the last 3 games. And he's been everything that you want out of the top right-hand defenseman, one of the top right-hand defensemen in the league. And there's still inexplicably some people that want to get rid of him, but Evan delivered for me for the last 3 games.
Were you hanging out with Jay?
I wasn't. Oh. Crazy enough.
There's another one. I mean, Evan Bouchard, that OT winner was absolutely beautiful. It's a shame he couldn't find a way to get one in that game against Boston as well. But Bouchard has been unreal. His defensive play has been way better as of late as well. So big shout out to Boosh Bomb, Jay or Liam.
Jay. Warren Fogle delivered for me.
All right.
He's one of the Oilers' best top 6 forwards that never plays in the top 6. So I think, when did they play? Wednesday? That really proved a point. I think he belongs in there. He's playing really well this season, and I think he deserves another long chance in the top 6.
I agree with you. Like, I mean, Nuge is back, and I was really worried that they would just throw Nuge right back on the top line. And granted, that top line's been so good all year, but I think Warren Fogle has a chance to really fit next to Connor McDavid. I'm happy they kept him together. 2 goals. You can't argue against that kind of success.
You cannot. Last time he played Minnesota, actually, that's a lie. The time before, he had 2 goals and it was -3. No power play goals, by the way.
Yeah, that's not good. Rick, who delivered for you?
I'm going to say this with some depth in my voice, and I'm going to enjoy watching both your guys' faces, but it's number 13, Matthias Janmark. He's popping goals. He's drawing penalties. What more do you want out of a guy who makes $1 million a year? Maybe a little more consistency, but in the last little bit here, he's been a very good bottom line player for us.
Bottom. It's funny you say that, because that's how he scored his goal the other day, with his bottom.
So did Ryan Smith once or twice.
Since you guys called him Brown Mark and referred to him as Brown Mark, he's been lights out.
Yeah, he's got 2 goals.
He's drawn penalties.
Lights. He's had a couple of really good games. You can't argue against that at all. I'd like to see more consistency out of him. I mean, for $1 million, sure, it's not all that bad. And yeah, you can't knock him at all, because he's banged home 2 in back-to-back games and a big goal as well. For my who delivered, I'm going to go to that Boston Bruins game. The first tying goal of the game was scored by number 90, Corey Perry, and it came right after, or somewhat after, he got into a scrap as well. Kind of jumped the guy, but whatever, we'll take it. That's the fun of having Corey Perry on your team. But he knocked down that puck, scooped up the rebound, fired it home, had good hands around the net. Corey Perry has fit in absolutely wonderfully for the Edmonton Oilers since coming in. I know there were some people who were like, oh, is this going to mess with the chemistry? Is this the right kind of move? It absolutely was the right kind of move. Right now, in his 9 games since joining the Oilers, he has 3 goals and 2 assists. It's great, man. He's playing good. He's exactly what they needed, is kind of that middle six, bottom six kind of ad. I'll ask you guys, give me a letter grade for Corey Perry so far since joining the Oilers.
I'll go with an A. I don't know what more he could have done that you... Like, your expectations of what Corey Perry can do at this point of his career to what we're getting is pretty much there, if not a little bit more. So I'm just going to give him an A. Again, this is Corey Perry at this point of his career.
Yeah, B plus maybe? I don't know. A, it's... You're probably
three
right.
Goals in 9
like,
games.
That's what I mean.
That's like,
but then,
and that's the like a 25-28 goal pick.
And the fight and the slash of the stick of the goalie's hands. Like, he's doing Corey Perry stuff.
Well, the fight cost him a goal.
No, the penalty kill didn't help him out at all. He didn't put the puck in our net.
I'll say B plus. I think he's been good. I think there's some moments where it's like, damn, like, you know, I'll just say A. Yes. You're probably right. How can I disagree with Rick? He keeps getting everything right, and I'm just saying like a little schmuck getting everything wrong.
Dan, letter grade on Corey Perry?
Oh, it sounds boring, but I think A is fair. Yep. I think my only hesitation now with Perry is just it feels like the broadcast, like Jack and Louis are just really stretching to try and make every little thing that Corey Perry's doing right be a focus of the, and I get it. Cause he's a new guy to the team. He's a new toy to play with. I understand that. But that would be my only kind of hitch there, is that Corey Perry is human. He does have slower boots. We can all recognize
that. Evander Kane turned over that puck on the 5-5 goal. Watching that going, Corey Perry probably should have taken a hard stride.
Yeah. And that's not unfair. Right. And yeah, so I think that's just me as a fan more than anything. So yeah, A I think is the answer.
Yeah. I think it's fair, even though you're right. Like he doesn't skate fast, and he doesn't try to make it look like he skates fast either, but he's still finding ways to be effective for the Oilers. And man, just a free 99 pickup. You just go sign him for absolutely nothing. Like, we're still talking about the Oilers needing to add 2 pieces ahead of the deadline. If they didn't stumble into Corey Perry, this forward group looks a lot worse.
You know better than me. Is there still a worry that Chicago could come calling and say that there was a, or not, sorry, Chicago, the PA could come calling and say that there was an issue there? And
but if now it would only be for the point of him recuperating money from the Hawks. Okay.
So we wouldn't be lost.
No, I don't
like
think
the Kane situation.
God, no, because he was a free agent. And yeah, the PA agreed to allow that contract to be terminated.
And even if they said, like, hey, listen, you can't, that the reason you made the contract go away was bad, they'd have to just pay him as opposed to go back to. Could you imagine? They just, all right, you're back in the Blackhawks. Well,
that was just because of the Evander Kane situation the year previous, right? We were told that Kane could have been removed from the team and sent to the Sharks. So
yeah, because he was grieving that. I don't think Perry's really going down that far of a road with the whole grievance thing either. So I think they're all good in that regard. There you go. That is your who delivered for DoorDash. Let's get into things a little bit more. We got a few other segments to knock off today. We're only 21 minutes into the podcast, though. What did you guys make of that 6-5 OT loss to the Boston Bruins? I think now a couple of days to calm down. Even going into the game, if it would have been like, hey, they're going to grab a point from the Bruins after being down 4-1. You would have been like, okay, that I'll take that. That's not all that bad. But you look at how that game ended with, you know, the bad Kane turnover and then missing on the power play in OT. And then whatever the hell happened with that last shift in overtime. In the moment, I was very, very frustrated. Now I look back and go, 1 point is fine. It's a solid point to pick up. But that was, in the moment, Rick, definitely an annoying loss.
No, 100%. I mean, yeah. When you look back at it right now from today, it's not that bad when you just look at it on the whole. But I mean, this is you had every opportunity to win that. The Bruins are good, but they're not unbeatable. This team needs to go out there and grab every game from here on in and treat it like we want the cup. And I don't think they really did that. And I think they still play a little bit flat, or they wait to react to how the other team is going to play a little bit more. I want to see them go out there and grab the game by the throat every single time. And I think you saw that they can do it to these teams. They did it. They were down 4-1 and they came back. But then they still have like silly mistakes after that. You need to run through first base. You need to play 60 full minutes. And when they start, and I know they know that, I just don't see why it doesn't always come out.
See, I would have been, I think, not okay, but I would have been better had the Oilers just got thumped by the Bruins 6-2 in that game. And you know, the second period continued into the third. But you see what the Edmonton Oilers are capable of in every single freaking third period. And it's just, that's, I think, where it drives me up the wall, is that if that team came out and played like that against the Vegas Golden Knights when we were on our 16-game win streak, you play against the Boston Bruins last night like you did in the third period, and it's a different outcome for the entire game. And we just, as fans of this team, we know they're capable of it. We see it in actual results like that comeback, but it just comes up a little bit short. Had they played the whole game and we not had the issues in the second period there, we'd be talking.
See, I think this comes down to coaching, though. So after they do their pregame warm-up and they come off, then you lean into them a bit. Guys, you're down 3 goals right now. How do you expect? And you come out and start playing the third period, yeah, and we'll walk the league.
So I shared these numbers on Owen every day, and I'll pass them along here. The Oilers in the first period this year are plus 23. The Oilers in the second period are minus 4. The Oilers in the third period are, once again, or sorry, they're plus 13 in the first, minus 4 in the second, plus 23 in the third, which is a crazy swing to go from minus 20 or minus 4 to plus 23.
But that minus 4, was that, that's per period though, right? Like second periods all the second periods.
All the second periods combined, minus 4.
Which is funny because in the last 3 weeks, I think, is when the second period issues come into it.
Yeah, they're like, I think they got to be like minus 10 or minus 11 in the last 2 weeks, something crazy like that. So you're right.
If not more.
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. When you look at shots on goal, they've outshot the other team by 76 in the first period. In the second period, it's a gap of 65 they're outshooting the other team by. In the third period, it's 140. So they got this crazy ability to just put the pedal down in the third period. It's wild. I had some other stats here too. The Oilers, when they trail after two periods, are still 7-13-1. Like, it's crazy that in whatever that would be, 35% of your games, if you're losing going into the third period, you're still finding a way to go out and get the victory. When they lead after two, they're 17-3-0.
I would be curious to see, and I know that just kind of
pre and breaks post
down the stats.
Pre and post Seattle game, wins. the very first Seattle one.
Yeah,
let's Woodcroft see what it looks like back Knobloch. That first little gap, and then let's see what it's like since.
Just because I know that there were some comebacks in the win streak, and then there were some games we lost 1-0 or 1-goal games in that losing streak. Yeah. So yeah, it's
I have the numbers for the second period.
Yeah.
The Oilers are being outscored 2-1 since returning from
we're only down 2-1.
14 goals against 7-4.
Ooh, that's worse.
Well, 2-1 ratio.
Yeah, yes. Ratio. Yeah,
2-1. That's not bad at all, guys. So,
2-1 ratio, folks.
So it's a gap of 7 since returning from the break.
Yeah.
So that means
when was the break? How many games ago?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
14. Yeats. Which means before the break, they were actually a positive second period team at that would be Tyler plus 3.
They went 14 games in a row without allowing 2 or more goals before the break.
Yep. That'll help.
From the, I think it was the Rangers game to Vegas. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they allowed 0 against Vegas. Then they went beat Anaheim 2-1 in the second. Then they lost 2-0 to the Kings in the second, 2-1 to Detroit in the second, 4-0 to St. Louis in the second, 3-3 against Dallas. And then it was 2-0 against Arizona. And then obviously Bruins was 3-1 too. There's literally the difference in every single game that they're losing is the second period. Nuts. Absolutely. Kind of insane, to be honest.
Yeah, it is.
But it makes no real sense. Like,
it really doesn't.
You can't blame it on the long change. And is there anything outside the long change that is a difference in second compared to first or third?
No, they just straight up play bad.
Like, the other team must come out with a little more vigor or something, but guys, this is an issue. You know they got a bit of a flat tire here. Grab it by the beginning of the second period and go out and win it.
If I was Skinner and Pickard, I'd be furious. Because they make them look so bad in the second periods.
They're hanging their goalies out to dry.
Oh, I don't think the goalies get angry, for the record.
I don't. It doesn't look like they do either. But like the Brad Marchand goal wasn't great by any means by Skinner. But probably preventable by CC if he anticipates what's about to happen. And there's plenty of goals like that through the second period specifically. They allowed four against St. Louis in the second. That's crazy.
Yeah, that just can't be happening. And they were winning going into that period as well. Like, goddamn.
Yeah.
All right. Either way, we're going to continue along in a bit here. But first, we're going to step aside for a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on Oilers Nation Radio. Ooh, yeah, scared you. Back.
I know. You bring
we
a lot of
back.
Last time we did this, we did a minute break over at Devil's Advocate. It was an actual break.
Yeah, we actually did.
I expect us to just come. No, they're sitting down, moving tables and stuff.
Ask the idiot. Yeah, we were moving tables.
Speaker was right there.
Ask the Idiots is brought to you by Nation Gear. Head over to Nation Gear today to get stocked up. We're getting pretty close to playoff time in the city, so you want to be looking fresh when that time comes. Head over to Nation Gear. Check out all of our new Oilers Nation collections. We had our 8-game heater shirt. We have the retro oil Derek long sleeve, which is very cool. Our boy Eric, our graphic designer, made some really sweet merch this year for our run. NationGear.ca. Here's what we did for Ask the Idiots. Since I don't have access to Bagged Milk's DMs, I sent out a tweet before we started recording the show, and I said, we're looking for some Ask the Idiots questions. There are two that I want to get out of the way right off the jump because I think I can handle them. Sergeant Obvious said, do you know how much cap space we're accruing daily and how that works exactly? No, the segment is called Ask the Idiots. We are idiots.
Tell you that at the deadline, they should have 2.1 million.
I think.
Allegedly. That's just what the internet said.
What Cap Friendly says.
What do we have to do in order to get that?
Yeah, like,
I don't know. I have no one on LTIR.
Every off day, do we have to send like Vinny down and Holloway down and bring him up for game days? Like,
they actually could get more if they only had 12 forwards.
But can't you?
Like, I know.
I don't understand. And I know no one here has the answers, but maybe Original Puzar has this for us. Who, by the way, we met him.
What a beauty.
He was on the show.
Yeah, that's great.
That was cool.
I enjoyed meeting him.
If every off day you paper transaction, the guys are able to go down, would you not make money then?
I kind of thought about that too. Like,
and if you like could, if you, is it like, guys, just hire me at, you know, $20 an hour and I'll do it for you.
Yeah, but I think I believe it has to be an optical thing. Like, it has to be league doesn't want teams sending up and calling down or
sending always. Down Holloway.
Yeah, but would you rather do that or have Vegas go, oh, this guy is on a he's having surgery and he's being back probably around April 14th.
I don't disagree with you, but I think that you see that with the NFL a lot, that cavalier attitude towards these guys.
And if that's the case, then do it till you get your hand slapped.
Yeah.
If it's not against the rules, then you're not breaking them.
Yeah.
Like, sending down Dylan Holloway, hypothetically, is not against the rules.
I don't think so.
To answer
Holloway, Picard, Vin, I think, can go down.
So it's based off how much cap that player makes, how much salary that player makes that day.
Yeah.
Cheers. Depending on where they are.
Because you send those three guys down, you're talking almost $2 million.
Yeah, because we spoke about this earlier, right? When it was like, well, if we send down Connor Brown for the final, or like, you know, like the last game of the season, you send down all these guys, does that mean our cap hit kind of can take his bonus next year? I would assume it's similar to that.
Yeah.
But to answer the question, if you ask Gary Bettman or you ask any, I think even general manager of their team, how much cap space they have at that moment,
they probably
don't have a person that they could ask.
They don't
that'll
know.
Tell them. Yeah, and we have cap friendly to go look at for that stuff. So
the next question was from Den Poland, who said, is Jonas Brodin an option for the Minnesota Oilers? He's got four more years at $6 million, a full no movement clause, and he's a left-handed defenseman. So
stop trying to move our team to Minnesota, yeah. Tyler.
Yeah. Minnesota Oilers?
Minnesota Oilers. Is that what he said?
What?
Tyler, did he say Minnesota Oilers? He read
Minnesota Oilers. I don't know how it gets written.
I said, could Brodin be an option
for the Minnesota Oilers?
Yes, Dan and I looked at it at the exact same time.
I probably meant to his thing said yes. From Minnesota. So
yes, that's
just,
fair.
You were just mashing together. I do it all the time. Pittsburgh Flyers. Fair. It happens.
All right. Mark at the Line Blender said the Oilers first second rounders may be off limits for a rental, which I'll just start with that one there. I don't think the first and second rounders should necessarily be off limits for a rental. Like, I don't think the Oilers should be itching to go trade their first rounder for a rental. The second you can trade for a rental all day. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, like, if you can get a good enough rental for that first round pick, you absolutely do it.
Yep. I move that first round pick and I do it before Broberg and Lavoie.
This is
the rest of the team, I think, is relatively attainable, but I'm moving that pick. No problem for a rental. Let's go.
This is the luxury of being a Stanley Cup contender. The Edmonton Oilers are that. And so, yes, you're right. You're not clamoring and chomping at the bit to get rid of that. But if it comes to you, you're going to be sending that right away.
Yeah. He also added maybe they could trade for a young player, one with team control. And he listed a bunch. Casey Mittelstadt in Buffalo, Trevor Zegras. That's not happening.
No,
he's way too. I'm good.
I don't want Zegras.
Phil Tomasino, Arthur Kaliev, Kaapo Kakko. That's not happening. Dante Fabro, Sean Durzi, Eric Branstrom, Alex Tessier, or Berggren. I think Berggren's in Detroit. Maybe
Kaliev's not. It's not going to be easy to get out of there, but I would like him.
I don't know. Yeah, like
for a cheap guy, a guy his size who can score off his shot like that.
I like Tessier the most. I like Durzi the most, actually. Durzi, if you can get Durzi to be a right shot D man for you. That would be a real nice right side you're starting to build up.
I'll need at least an hour and a half to get over my issues with him first.
Fair enough. But I like Tessier. Liam, is there anyone that stands out there?
I like Tessier too. I've kind of been on his train for a while.
Cheap, PK. Columbus is looking to get rid of him. Pending RFA, so you could keep him if you wanted to.
I'm just reading Matt Larkin's article. The Oilers have an Achilles heel and apparently it's goaltending. I would disagree.
So would I.
Tessier would be my answer though.
Dan, anyone you like there? Or do you want to talk about the goaltending?
Are you reading an article too?
I'm shocked. Yeah, I'm not reading an article, but I'm frankly shocked that people are still pointing at the goaltending with this team and saying it is an issue. But I'd be interested to hear what Mr. Larkin has to say over at Daily Faceoff.
Go check it out. He said it's because the Oilers' overall save percentage is .864 post All-Star break. I don't disagree. It's not been good. But with that said, the team has been terrible.
I was just going to say, can you look at the goalies and say that they're the reason?
No.
Not if you watch the games. I don't think.
I'm with you.
I'm with you. And Kevin Woodley had a tweet about that too. The Oilers are giving up a ton of high percentage looks right now, and it's back to like their early season numbers.
Yeah.
So
that worked out well for us.
And what was happening at the beginning of the season? The goaltending was bad. So again, maybe it's... I still think like if the team plays solid in front of them, these goalies give you a chance to win most.
Yes.
I don't think that's a crazy take. KB dropped in three trade suggestions and wants to know who we think says no to each one. The first one, and I'll add a caveat that Chris Tanev comes at 50% retained. Oilers give up their first rounder for him at 50% retained. Rick, who says no?
I don't know if either team says no.
I don't think either side says no either. Liam?
What was it? Sorry, Tanev and a first 50% retained?
Yeah.
I don't think either team would say no.
I bet you the Flames will charge more. So I think the Flames say no.
Oh, but a first feels like it's more already.
Well, I believe that they can get more.
And Tanev only has this year left, right?
Yeah, he's a pending UFA.
Yeah, I think Calgary would be dumb not to take that.
I think Craig Conroy's a...
Unless you plan on re-signing
Battle of
him,
Alberta veteran, and he ain't going to help Edmonton out by any means.
I would disagree.
I think it helped. You know what? Screw helping the Oilers. I think it helps their team. It gets another first-round pick. Who knows where it's going to be.
And a chance to rub it in Edmonton's face for the next 15 years if you think you can draft a good player.
Which Calgary has done a good job of, to their credit, last couple of years.
Yeah, Zari Pelletier.
Frank had a thing on Tanev the other day, and one of the comparable trades was the Brett Kulak trade from a couple of years ago, which was a second to seventh and Lagesson. So the Oilers, just an equivalent, could probably switch Lagesson and make it Nima Leinen.
Second to seventh and Nima Leinen for Tanev. Yeah. That'd be legit. I'd do that.
Oh, heck, if they wanted someone who could actually, who was a forward who can play, like, I like him, but like James Hamlin could also fill that void too.
Yeah. The next deal, CeCe and a third for Tarasenko at 50% retained with the Senators. Who says no to that one? I think Ottawa maybe, just because I can't imagine they'd be terribly interested in the Cody CeCe reunion after it didn't go well in the first time around.
CeCe and a first. See, I've got a thing.
CeCe and a third.
A third, sorry.
For Tarasenko, 50% retained.
I think both teams say no because it leaves the Oilers with an issue on the right side defense, and I don't think Ottawa.
But if they get Tanev, this is part two.
Oh, this is part two.
It's all one universe.
Oh, I see. Oh, so you already have. Okay, you know, the Oilers will definitely say yes then to that one.
I got a question.
Yeah.
But for us, the idiots. Do we undervalue what CeCe's value would actually be?
Yes.
Because for me, like, I don't disagree. Like, the Oilers should upgrade on this guy if there's an opportunity to do it there. But he does play top 4 minutes. He plays on the penalty kill. Like, he has been in the league for a long time.
If he had four more goals, he has a role. If he had 3 to 4 more goals this year, do you think things would be a little bit different?
CeCe?
Maybe.
Has nothing to do with goals for me. No? It's defensive presence.
Yeah, but like, I don't think he's a superstar defenseman by any means, but like, he's been capable. Part of a team that has had success in the playoffs for a few years now. And he played a role in that. And I just like, I like that trade. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't know what his value is. He's such a hard player to get a read on from the value sense.
I just think fans are always going to be measuring their players against their own players. And so for your defenseman, you're going to have a ranking of 1 through 6. It's like having your own kids. Everybody has a ranking of their kids. I'm looking at you parents right now. And I just think it's a reality. And so CeCe has just kind of found himself at the bottom of the pile, whereas Brett Kulak was there before. Kulak was the guy that we were always talking about trading, just like Warren Fogle has been the guy that's kind of slid down to the bottom of the top 6 role for a while. And now he's found his way back up that list. I just think fans in natural are naturally going to rank their defensemen and then find a guy to ship out. They might also
overrank some of their guys on their own team and
naturally,
and at the same time underrank some of the players because they just personally don't like them.
Because you're going to find the confirmation bias that tells you you're correct in your opinion.
The last one in this set of trades from KB, a second, a fourth, and Janmark for Nick Bjugstad.
No, they can't do that.
Because they acquired him less than a year ago on a retained salary transaction?
I believe that's the case.
I actually think that, or is it they can't acquire him again with retained money?
I can't remember.
Does Bjugstad bring that much more than Janmark that you include both those draft picks?
Yeah, what was it, a fourth and a sixth?
All right, so this one from Puckpedia. Note that since Bjugstad was on the Oilers roster till June 30th last year, they cannot acquire him in a retained salary trade until 1 year from that date. They can acquire him though at a full cap hit. So,
and what did the question say? It retained?
No.
So we could make that trade then.
Yeah, I don't like him at $2.1 million. Though.
What were the draft picks that we were including?
Second and a fourth.
Yeah, second and a fourth is good. Is an overpay for the difference between Bjugstad and Janmark. Especially when you incorporate money.
Does it say June? It says June 30th, right?
Yeah.
So is that because that's when July 1st is technically the new season?
Yeah.
So, because a lot of people were going at Frank yesterday for his Riley Smith thing, saying that like he was wrong, that Vegas couldn't acquire.
But he was traded before the season.
June 28th.
Yeah,
so does that mean that they could still retain on him, I guess?
Yes, right? They could still get him at retained based on what that little card was.
I saw that and I didn't question Frank because, quite frankly, he knows more than I do. I don't think he would just say stuff for fun like I do.
Frankly
speaking. Interesting. No, I like Bjugstad. I liked him when he was here. Also, there's been so many people complaining all season how this team has ran back the same group. And now you want the Oilers to acquire the same player they acquired last deadline that got them to the second round. You got to find a different option. I like him. And he lit us up the other day with two snipes. I just don't think I would go get him.
I think that's part of the reason why he's kind of come into our mind again.
Yeah.
Because he did score 2 goals.
What's his cap hit now anyway?
Weren't people hard on him at the end of the playoffs anyways? Because he like got outplayed and outscored and whatnot?
A little bit.
Like people kind of forget. And again, I liked him, but he did kind of fall off a cliff for a while.
Yeah.
There's a reason he was only $925K for Arizona last season.
Yep. And like $412 for us, I think it was.
Yeah. And then it's $2 million on your cap next year. I don't know.
I spent more at the bar there than we spent on him.
Nah, it was $2 PBRs.
Oh, the other bar.
Oh, the other bars.
Yeah, the other bar.
There were some pricey ones there.
Yeah.
Kate, let's move along. We'll keep the trade talk going a little bit here. With the Silly Season Report, it's brought to you by Greta. We will be out at Greta on Saturday night.
Saturday.
It's going to be a good party. Doors open at 7. You can get your tickets at nationgear.ca. A prepaid shot when Edmonton scores their first goal. BOA on the screens. I'll be there on the mic doing plenty of giveaways. It is going to be an absolute vibe. Today for the Silly Season Report, we are taking a look at Frank Saravalli's trade targets board. Interesting. He has a new list up at dailyfaceoff.com. It goes 40 names deep, but we're just going to deal with kind of the top little chunk here. So I'm going to go through 5 names at a time, and you guys are going to tell me which players you think should be on the Oilers' radar. The first 5, Noah Hanifin, Chris Tanev, Jake Guentzel, Adam Henrique, and Jake Allen. Allen, Henrique, Guentzel, Tanev, Hanifin. It's up on the screen.
Oh, look at that.
So in the first 5, who do you like, Rick?
You're not going to take Hanifin. You'll look at Tanev. You'll consider Guentzel. You'll consider Henrique, and you will not look at Allen.
I think I'm with you. Henrique, if he's twice retained, I'm somewhat interested in. Guentzel costs a lot, so I'm not sure if I want to do that. I think I'd rather fill 2 holes than just get him. Tanev, I'm in on. Dan?
I would just do Tanev, and then Henrique, you got to rinse him a few times to get his contract down, but that would be a good
one. Yeah, the Guentzel injury is the big question there.
Yeah, that too.
Well, and the cost of acquisition for Guentzel to me is just too high.
Like two firsts and maybe something else to get the money retained for Guentzel. Like, you could go get both Henrique and Tanev with that money.
Yeah, I'm probably not doing that then.
Yeah. Liam?
I'm starting to think maybe I just go for Tanev and nobody else.
In the top five.
Yeah. In the top five. I just think this market makes zero sense to me. So the fact that, like, pull up the list again, I guess. Hanifin, Guentzel, and Henrique are probably all going to cost you a first round pick, but somehow the top-handed, right-handed defenseman isn't going to potentially cost you that.
Yeah, Frank says a second.
Just doesn't make any sense to me at all. So I think Tanev is almost exactly what the Oilers need on the blue line.
The next 5 are Sean Walker, Nick Dowd, Riley Smith, Scott Laughton, and Jacob Markstrom. Liam, who do you like on that list?
Nobody.
Dowd?
No, I like Dowd. I'm not paying a first round pick for him.
Laughton? Those are my 2.
I just think you're going to get to the point with Laughton where it's like, well, now we need to play Ryan McLeod.
Ryan McLeod is a winger.
No, pay.
Oh, pay.
Because he's a 3-year deal, right?
Yeah.
I just don't think it's worth the squeeze. I almost just want a rental that I can try and re-sign next season for a cheaper deal.
Fair enough. Dan, who do you like in this next group of 5?
Nobody? Is that an answer?
Yeah, it can be.
Like, I mean, what a year. How many years are we removed from Jacob Markstrom when he was offered to be here for $6 million per?
10 is definitely not an option.
No, yeah, no way.
Yeah, no, not really applying to me there, appealing to me there.
Okay, Rick?
I like a player like Dowd, but the acquisition costs might be too much. Same with Riley Smith and Laughton. Like, it really comes down to how much you're going to charge to bring the player in.
If they'll give you Dowd for a second, I'm all over that.
Yeah, I probably would be as well.
And save your first. Like, if you traded your first and second and got Dowd and Tanev, that'd be legit.
I'd like to make a statement. Yep. Okay. Nick Dowd.
It's a podcast.
So. And I'm going to turn off the thing so everyone can see me.
ISO cam on, Liam.
Yeah.
Zoom in.
TikTok camera. Why? I don't understand the big deal that he has an extra year on his contract. Like, I get it from the sense of, like, oh, we get an extra guy. But then also you're paying your fourth line center $1.3 million. If you can't go into the summer, and I don't know who's available, and find a fourth line center for around $1 million, then what are we doing? Like, I just don't understand that being the value. And I get that, like, he plays against tough opponents and he's a good player, but I would not spend a first round pick on that guy.
Cause I think you need to not view him as a fourth line center. He's almost like a third line center. I think when you look at the matchups he takes, he scores a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit.
But you're never going to play him like that. So you can view him like that, but he'll never play as your third line center.
Yeah, but at $1.3 million, I think getting a second year out of that guy, if you like him, that's good value.
I suppose. I don't mind
the contract. I don't like the first round pick.
I don't mind the contract either. I'm not saying that's going to be like a deal breaker for me. I don't know why that's the value of a first round pick now.
So they're saying that Dowd is going to cost you a first round.
From that list, we've heard Dowd and Walker would both be firsts. And I would assume Lawn would be as well. Riley's fresh to the list. And I think, wasn't it Holtz was the original trade for?
It was a high end Devils, prospect.
And so picks, yeah. Essentially a first round
pick. All right, Liam, go to the next group of five. Da-da-da-da. Pavel Buchnevich from the Blues, Jacob Chychrun on the Sens, Alexander Carrier on the Predators, Tarasenko on the Sens, and Anthony Mantha of the Capitals. Rick, who do you like in that group of five?
Again, without knowing contracts and whatnot, I think you like a player like Buchnevich. Chychrun, I'm not into. Carrier's okay. Tarasenko would be an interesting addition here. And Anthony Mantha, I think he'd look good in your fourth line, maybe that third line there. But I don't know if he's been consistent enough that you'd be worried about what he's going to bring to you next year.
Oh,
pending UFA. Everyone on that list except Chychrun and Buchnevich are pending UFAs.
Ken Holland definitely drafted Anthony Mantha, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, that's probably what we'll get in.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with drafting a guy out of the QMJHL. I watched him in Halifax. He was that low goal scorer.
Mo Mantha's kid?
I don't know,
honestly.
Mo Bamba's
kid. I wanted to ask about Nick Dowd and Jim Dowd, too, by the way, but...
But he was a Valdor Foyer, and he led the league in scoring, I think, in his last year. I think he's like, again, his money is obscene. He makes five plus a year?
5.75. So you'd have to get him kept.
You'd have to rinse him twice.
5.75?
But Mantha. Anthony Mantha. Ooh. But if you could get him, to me, he's like that big body that could score some goals in your bottom six. Again, just makes way too much money. So Tarasenko is the only guy off that list.
So yeah, like the interesting thing there, no on both those related questions, by the way, Rick.
Interesting.
Mantha, like if Washington only wants a third for him and you can get a third party, because his value is not high at all. And a third party says, we'll keep the other little bit for a fourth. Then it's like, hey, is giving up a third and a fourth for Anthony Mantha, a guy who scores pretty well at 5-on-5? That's not that crazy.
No.
If you're looking to make a bottom six ad that can actually have an impact, he would be one.
Yeah, I think he would be as well. He's a check down option, though.
Yeah.
Like, I would take Gensel, Buchnevich, well, basically the wingers on that list besides
Buchnevich, I think, will be too hard to fit in next year. Tarasenko, I think, would be a really good option. Carrier, I like as a CC upgrade. We floated out the idea of going and getting Carrier and Novak in one deal with the Nashville Predators, which would be freaking sweet. Last five names we're going to go through, Liam. Then we'll move on to hot and cold performers. Mikael Granlund, one more year at $5 million. So he's got some term and he's pricey. Tyson Barrie, pending UFA. Matt Dumba is a pending UFA. Anthony Duclair, $3 million pending UFA. Joel Edmondson, $1.9 million, $1.75 million, also a pending UFA. Dan, I'll let you go first.
To me, Dumba just makes too much sense for a check down option for this team. If we've missed out on every other defensive pickup, you go out and you just take Dumba off of Arizona's hands for nothing. Is he getting paid $2.5 million right now?
He's 3.9. Oh, so if they kept half, he's affordable at least.
Yeah. So I like, again, I think we're just kind of trimming at the surface here at the edges. And I do think that Ken Holland is going to come out of nowhere. And the name that we do end up with will be off of this top 20 list.
Ekholm-esque.
Yep. But that's, I could see a Dumba coming in this team. Tyson Barrie, anybody?
No. I really like Duclair at $3 million. Like, again, as a check down option, if he's only going to cost you, like Mantha, a third and a fourth to have someone else keep the money, it's like, sign me up for that all day.
Is he done at the end of the year?
Yeah, done at the end of the year. So you could extend him if you want to do whatever. Also, Joel Edmondson, not the player he once was at all, but if he's going to be dirt cheap to acquire and Washington keeps a bit of that $1.75 million cap hit, that's an ideal seventh D-man for the playoffs. Guy who's been on some runs before, knows how to play playoff hockey, averaging 16 minutes a night right now. He's nothing more than a sixth defenseman when you put him in the lineup, but he can play both sides of the blue line. Like, there's something there with Edmondson.
Yeah, and he's been there, done it, right?
Yep.
You could get him down to $1 million. I think you could have worse acquisitions. And that's a man saying that who is told Edmondson he's not welcome in this city. So consider that.
Yeah, I like Duclair. Duclair might be a decent fit.
I like Duclair. I like a Dumba. I just don't think he fits today.
I don't think he's that much better than CeCe.
Are we not seeing an issue there? I just was kind of noticing, looking at the both of those lists, are how many teams are actually listed on there? Are we saying seven or eight teams that are the sellers and the rest are buyers?
Go back to the top 10. Three GMs control 80% of Frank's top 10.
That's insane. When you hear that people are saying like that the price is this or that this is the asking price, I just don't know if I believe any of that. Maybe right Frank's now because who knows what it is.
Some presents to put these guys on. Yeah. Free tickets next year. So, yeah.
Shall we run through them? Just read the names. Sure. So it's Jason Zucker, Brett Kulak, Mike Hoffman, Kaliev, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Frank says about 10% chance you think Fleury actually gets moved now. Keep going.
26 to 30 is Provorov, Greenway, Jordan Eberle, Brandon Duhaime, Morgan Frost. And then 31 to 35 is John Merrill, Tessier, Elvis Merzlikins, Nick Seeler, Tony DeAngelo. And then 36 through 40 is Kevin Hayes, Jack Roslovic, Andrew Peak, and or Boquist, Kevin LeBlanc, and Trevor Zegras.
All right.
There you have it, folks.
All of Frank's list from dailyfaceoff.com. All right. We are going to move along and get to hot and cold performers since Bag Milk is in here to hit the buttons. I'm going to go run over there.
Okay. Farewell. For now.
It was a good run.
All right. Back over on a different microphone. We're getting
ready. Is it on?
Did we check that microphone?
I would say it's in the split, I would guess.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
It's working out all right. All right, gentlemen. Ooh,
hello. Right.
Yeah, we got a little bit too loud there. Doing everything on the fly. Hot and Cold Performers is sponsored by just us.
Rick, Dan, Tyler, and Liam.
Yep. Let's get into it. Let's start with our veggies. I'll start at the end with Dan. What do you got for Hot and Cold Performers?
There's a couple of options I had this week, myself, for cutting out the ice yesterday and giving myself just blisters everywhere on my hands. That was brutal.
That looks gross.
I'm going to give it to the NHL, for holding this symposium in Winnipeg now, because all of a sudden we're concerned with the attendance numbers in Winnipeg, not talking about Florida. We're not talking about Arizona, not talking about Carolina. We're talking about Winnipeg and we're focused again on Winnipeg's issues. It's frustrating for me. Frank did a good job talking about it this morning on the Daily Rundown. It's a silly situation to be that upset about Winnipeg and causing them to show up in the news cycle again, right when you have a franchise that's probably going to run off to St. Louis or Salt Lake. So for me, it's Bettman and the Winnipeg nonsense.
I'm upset.
That was stupid.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be equal to the rest of the teams out there, right? Because there's something to be said about pulling your weight in this league. You know, being a revenue share and whatnot. It's probably not a great look out in Winnipeg that your numbers keep dropping like that. However, you can't single out one organization like that. I get it. You're probably trying to draw all the eyes away from the whole Arizona situation for, but yeah, when you have other teams out there doing the same thing, you kind of need to, hey, all you guys.
Liam.
Okay. So I'm going to say mine, and I'm not saying it's this person. I'm just saying it sucked. But when we were flying down to Arizona, we had to get there pretty early. So we got to the airport at 5 and I got up at 4 something. And I was sleeping on the plane and I got woken up by the lady next to me. And it's not her fault. I'm in the aisle seat. It's part of the job. But it sucked to be woken up.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was it.
I thought there was so much more coming.
No, that's it.
I thought there was going to be a reason behind it. But I do like how you said, that's the job. It's kind of like the anchor at the blackjack table, right? Sometimes you got to hit on 15 when you don't want to hit on 15.
Yeah. You got to do the dirty work, Rick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about everyone who has to drive downtown and everything like this. And I know it's an issue everywhere in this damn city. And I've probably said this before, but it's the construction out here right now. You're like the 104 Ave is a relatively major artery downtown. And you get to a point where you come up to 104 and 109, where if you have a left turn and a right turn and someone crossing the street, nobody's going anywhere. And then you look around at all the areas that are under construction that are blocked off. How many workers are out there? Damn near zero. I don't know what we're doing here, but we need to start holding city council people a little more accountable for this stuff. And if it's dropping underneath your watch, you lose your job like pretty much any other job.
Worse, worse, worse.
I hope some of you are listening too.
Mine will go to Adam Rozicka. No one said you can't party, just don't do it on Instagram.
I also drink a beer at Roger's place and I get crazy.
You thought about that. There's no way that was as I hit the button.
Also, bonus cold performer, Fanatics for the MLB uniforms.
Holy moly, there's, what a joke.
There's genitalia everywhere. You can see guys' balls.
But is this not Nike still?
No, I don't know. There's
I think that's what storm. I think that's what's come out is that Nike is still in charge of the uniforms for another like year and a half. And this is what hockey has to worry about too, because for the first 2 years of the Fanatics deal, apparently it's going to be fine. But then after that, they're that's like when still Fanatics
using the Adidas supplier. Yeah.
Yep. Then all after that, it's all bets are off.
Hot performer of the week, Rick.
I'm going to bring my camera up again. You know what? I know you used him as your who delivered. But I'm giving it to Corey Perry. I think he's doing everything you need on the ice right now. He's filling that role. And I absolutely love watching pretty much everything he does out there. It's getting hot in here. So
hot.
How about this weather we're having?
Ding dong.
That's it?
That's all I got. It's all so right. Nice outside.
The quickest hot and cold performers of all time, by the way.
Yep. Dan.
Well, I was going to give it to the hot, to the weather myself because I feel like this show, we often and dunk on the ice. Weather. And I was chipping the ice. But I'm going to give it to Lindy Ruff for his funny quote today, blaming the media, apparently, for the power play struggles in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So, Lindy Ruff, you get my hot performer of the week.
Can you explain that, please?
In his press conference, I don't know if it was last night or this morning, he was listing off all the issues that the power play is having, and included the fact that the media is covering it in excess as being one of the reasons as to why it's struggling. Which, aww. I mean, like, you know what he's saying. Everybody understands what he's saying well, there, but the media members were like...
I bring up the downside of our power play right now, so I guess... I will take blame for being part of the reason why our PP is not working out so well. I apologize to everybody, and I will do my best to help it out.
So, yeah, sometimes when I watch the Oilers power play, I get frustrated because I feel like McDavid's just looking for Leon Draisaitl all the time. Frank was saying today, apparently the Devils kind of have a problem where Luke Hughes only wants to pass to Jack.
Oh.
And like their power, they can't move the puck on their power because Luke's always just looking for Jack, which I found funny. My hot performer of the week is self-driving cars, gentlemen. That was cool as hell. I was in a car with no driver. Then Rick got yelled at by a lady on the intercom for not wearing his seatbelt.
It was a Jaguar.
It was a self-driving electric Jaguar.
Now, compare it to some of the drivers you've seen since we've been home.
I feel people were like, did you feel safe? I'm like, the odds of a computer making a mistake and the odds of what some insane person on the road making a mistake. I'm going to side with the computer.
And I tell you this, I don't know if those cars could handle it, be here.
No,
because of the erratic. We're just going to call it erratic drivers here. I had some other adjectives. That
anyways, self-driving cars. You get my hot performer of the week.
I can't believe it.
Also shout out to Jack Michaels and Louis DeBrusque. Who we saw on the Nation Vacation.
It's true.
Louis signed Captain Felton's rookie card necklace.
They were literally like,
it was insane.
Yeah. Their broadcast spot was pretty much the center ice line, but right along the concourse. Man. So we walked right past the concourse and their shelf was 5 feet.
They were talking the entire broadcast as if like it was like a foreign country to them. They were just talking about how close they are to the ice and their perspective is it's way easier to play the game.
Closer to them.
Yeah.
Because I want to know how our noise would have traveled into their microphones.
They said right at the start that it felt like the building was 75%.
But when they're calling the game, can you hear stupid things? I mean, if you watch some of Kennedy's videos, like I'm an idiot, I do what I do. Would that have translated through their microphone?
Oh yeah. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it would have. Cause right? You guys would right there. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That is a wrap, gentlemen. The Oilers play a weekend set of back-to-backs. Quickly, we'll go around the horn. Minnesota and then Calgary. Just tell me if they win, lose, or win both.
I think they lose to Minnesota and then thrash Calgary.
Win both.
They're winning both.
I'm going to say a tight OT win against Minnie, and then I'm with Dan. I think they're just going to steamroll Calgary on a Saturday night. Big shout out to Wendy's, DoorDash, Nation Gear, and Greta. Thanks for tuning in today, everybody, to another episode of Oilers Nation Radio. We'll be back on Monday.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.